Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
1-1 pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez in toward the corner.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
Yeah, party time on a Wednesday. Fantasy baseball time. I guess we're partying, Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris Towers. I am Adam Azer. And welcome to the show, all the listeners. Great intro.
I was not aware we were partying.
Yeah.
What kind of party are we having for the Knicks?
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. You know, it was a big day for me. I'll take the third pick. I'm fine with it. I'm happy.
I appreciate these moments where your Knicks fandom just like comes out in spurts. You go like a 9-month stretch without talking about them at all.
Well, who wants to talk? Like, who am I going to talk about them with? I talked about them all the time with people who care, but nobody cares.
Kevin Knox. You know, we can talk about Kevin Knox, Adam.
Bold prediction. Kevin Knox will not be the best Kevin on the Knicks next year. Bold proclamation as it relates to fantasy.
Are they signing Kevin Serafin?
Bold proclamation. Chris Sale is back.
Kevin Looney?
For the fifth time in a row, Chris Sale is back. I don't think we need to talk about it, but he did strike out 17, and he's amazing. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah.
It's fine.
We sort of had this understood contractual obligation to talk about Chris Sale after every one of his starts to begin the show with him. So we've done that now.
We don't need to.
He's great. Yeah, I
will say, like,
yeah, go ahead.
I was right when I said you shouldn't trade him. I was also wrong when I said you shouldn't trade for him. So,
and
hard to say whether I'm dumb or not.
You did call me out a couple of days ago for saying one of my tweets on the air, but you just said one of your tweets on the air because I saw that tweet last night.
But I didn't preface it. I didn't say, oh, I sent this great tweet last night. I was just, you know, that was a test run, you know.
Oh, okay.
Just, it's like a comedian, you know. You put some stuff out there in front of a smaller crowd, make sure it works, and then you bring it out to HBO.
Ah, I see. So, well, last night, like, Sale was dealing, Flaherty was dealing, Syndergaard was dealing, and I suspected that the show was going to be about these aces just dominating last night. Sale really stood out from the bunch. 7 innings, 2 runs, 17 strikeouts, struck out the first 6 batters he faced. He has 10 or more strikeouts in 4 of his last 5 starts. And we'll get into Flaherty, who had some control issues. It's 3 starts in a row with some control issues for him. I have an interesting trade offer on the table involving Flaherty. We can talk about that later. Syndergaard was pretty good. Kershaw and Paddock. Obviously, I stayed up and watched that game. It's a very entertaining game. Some takeaways there. They pitched, and we'll talk about that. But the big news is about the prospects. And really, if you watched us on HQ on Sunday, Scott and I both talked about prospects sort of differently, but making the same point. The point is that they can have a really big impact on your fantasy team. And it's possible that they'll be bad. It's possible they'll be Willy Adames or basically anybody. Carter Kieboom. Anybody that the Rays called up. Nate Lau Brandon Lau last year really struggled out of the gate and then he was good. But Nate Lowe this year, useless. But it's possible they could kind of win you your league. So it's important to get these guys. Keston Hira is up. He's 59% owned. He batted 7th for the Brewers. He went 2-for-3 with a walk, played second base. And Ender Inciarte left with back tightness, and the Braves called up Austin Riley, who has 15 home runs in 37 games and much better plate discipline this year, 18 walks to 31 strikeouts. So these are two big-time pickups. In fact, Riley kind of snuck in under the radar, and he's already 32% owned. So who would be your priority, Keston Hira or Austin Riley, who could be replacing Ender Inciarte? We'll call Inciarte day-to-day with back tightness.
I think Keston Hira is the more interesting prospect, both in real life and for fantasy, partially because he's a middle infielder. Second base has been, you know, the weakest position in fantasy besides catcher. But also, I love his skill set. This was a guy who has always had like plus bat speed and, you know, was considered someone who should hit for average. And he's always done that in the minors. And he's like a 318 career hitter in the minors. And the thought from scouts was he'll develop into power as he ages and be like an average or slightly above average power hitter. And what we've seen so far in AAA is he's turned into a pretty good power hitter. I don't think 11 home runs in 37 games is something that you can expect moving forward. Partially it's the PCL, partially it's the quote-unquote juiced ball that they're using in AAA. The thing is, the AAA ball now that's caused a 50% spike in home runs league-wide is the same ball that they're using in the major, and that was a change that happened at the beginning of this year, so we're seeing a more MLB-esque home run rate in the minors, and that bodes well for Keston Hira being, you know, possibly a 20-homer guy, prorated out as soon as this year. He could steal 15 bases. He should hit, you know, 270, 280 at the worst. So I think there's a ton to like about Keston Hira. Long-term, I think, you know, Anthony Rendon is a possible comp for him. He could be that good. And, yeah, I'm very excited about his call-up.
Yeah, so he's second base eligible, which is great. Austin Riley is third base eligible and will gain outfield eligibility. And obviously, you need second baseman, right? Let's face it, it's a bad position. But Riley, let's talk about him and your expectations for Riley, who's 32% owned.
Power. I think that's going to be the calling card for him. It hasn't quite always shown up in games the way you would think, given how scouts have talked about him, but it's starting to now. You know, he's never had more than 20 homers in a season before. You know, he's got 15 in 37 games, so he's going to get to 20 plus in 2019. I think there's a lot to like. I don't know if it's a superstar profile because the plate discipline isn't great and he's struck out a little bit too much, but you know, he's played 112 games at AAA now and he has 27 homers, so that's the kind of potential we're talking about. You know, a potential 25 to 30 home run guy. Maybe you're looking at like a peak Kyle Seager kind of profile.
Okay, Kyle Seager, that's pretty good. And
I mean, yeah, he was a top 10 third baseman for a pretty long time.
He was basically like the default number 8 third baseman, like every year.
Yeah.
When he was good, Kyle Seager was good. Kyle Seager, by the way, could be back in 10 days. Yeah, so like, so here is a bigger priority for you. Do either of these guys strike you as must-own players? Like, you don't necessarily have to have them on your team, but there's a team in each league that needs Keston Hira or Austin Riley.
100% with Hira. He should be owned in every single league. You should own him in every single league if you still have the opportunity to. I think he's someone who's, you know, potentially worth a 15 to 20% fab bid. He's arguably the best prospect left or at least hitting prospect with a chance to get called up or a good chance to get called up. So yeah, I think he's someone who should absolutely be added. And because I also think there's a pretty good chance he just runs with this job.
Shaw's on the IL, right? We should probably set that up. Travis Shaw's on the IL.
Yeah.
And we obviously know Travis Shaw's been terrible. So is it time to drop Travis Shaw?
Yeah. I mean, going back to spring training, he struck out 74 times with just 17 walks, a 36% strikeout rate. He's just been dreadful. He's not a good enough option on the infield for them to keep sticking with him if he's not absolutely mashing. And Mike Moustakas is. So, you know, Hira should be a better defensive option at second base than either Shaw or Moustakas. And I think if Hira hits the ground running, he probably makes them a better team.
By the way, I put in a $22 bid on Hira in a Roto League yesterday. He went
$100 fab?
$100. I had about 68 left or something. He went for $33. I should have picked him up in the podcast.
I said yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said yesterday probably 20 to 25% fab. So
yeah,
I wouldn't have gotten him either.
Yeah, it depends on the team. Depends on how much what you need. Okay, so I am going to speed Chris along a little bit today because yesterday was the worst show that I ever produced. I was embarrassed by it, and we just didn't really.
It was
really,
a great show.
It was so bad, and we just didn't really talk about enough. So we need to talk about a lot of stuff today. So who is next? Who is the next prospect that you need to stash? The guy I would say is Brendan Rodgers for the Rockies. They sent Garrett Hampson down. Ryan McMahon's been pretty bad, so it just makes sense to say Brendan Rodgers could be up playing second base for them pretty soon. So that's the guy I would pick. Is there anybody else that, you know, Jordan Alvarez, we talked about a lot. Am I stealing all of the names?
Yeah, I mean, you could see Kyle Tucker, Jordan Alvarez. It does seem like Alvarez has passed him in the pecking order. After that, you know, maybe Bo Bichette. Brendan Rodgers is a very good choice.
Jesus Luzardo is going to be out a little while, but might still be worth stashing. He's 54% owned.
And maybe Forrest Whitley.
Brendan Rodgers is 35% owned. So you can always read up about it on our website on CBSSports.com. We've got more big news for you. Elvis Andrews left with hamstring tightness. So they're going to check on that day-to-day for now, but we'll see. And Mitch Garver homered again. I don't know how he could be unowned, except he's dealing with an ankle injury. He got run into at the plate, slid into at the plate, and Mitch Garver has an ankle injury. But if he's healthy...
High ankle sprain, too, so
right,
probably going to be a little while.
Yeah. If he somehow avoids the IL, though, you need to get Mitch Garver. Anthony Rizzo could miss another game. He's got this back issue. Chris Bryant's made two appearances at first base. So if you own Chris Bryant, you probably want Anthony Rizzo to miss like another week. Giancarlo Stanton is kind of paused, it seems. Like, I thought he was making some progress, but he's still dealing with shoulder soreness. He went on the IL, Stanton, with a biceps injury. That seems to be done. But he's got this shoulder soreness. And I don't know what to say, Chris. I mean... Are you staying away from Giancarlo Stanton? Like, if someone offered Stanton to you, what would you be willing to give up for him?
You'd have to get a pretty sizable discount at this point, given the lack of progress that he's made. It's been a really bad season for my injury prone isn't a predictive thing, but I don't know. Like, this was something that was kind of impossible to foresee. He's just. Like, he hurt his bicep, and then somehow that led to a shoulder issue, or maybe the shoulder issue was there and it made it worse. It's really disappointing, but, you know, because it's a shoulder issue, that's the kind of injury that, you know, even when he's healthy, it could sap some of his power.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to try to read about it here because it might be a little overblown. He might come back in a couple weeks, but Stanton did have, I guess we'll call it a setback, with his strained left shoulder. He had a cortisone injection in the shoulder on April 22nd and still is not, that's a while ago, and still not back. Scott Kingery started a rehab assignment. He's 25% owned. I mean, he was batting .406 before he got hurt with only 14 games, but Kingery was red hot. Cesar Hernandez has been much better since Kingery went down, so I don't know what the deal is there, but I don't know, 25% owned. What do you think about Scott Kingery, Chris?
The only spot that he could really play in the infield, I think, at this point would be third base, because Segura and Hernandez, they're just not moving. They've been too good. But Michael Franco, basically, since the first week of the season, hasn't been very good at all. And Scott Kingery does have some experience playing in center field as well. And that's another spot where Odubel Herrera has been pretty mediocre. So if he gets comes back and hits well, I think he can start pushing for playing time at either third base or center field.
Who would you rather stash, Scott Kingery or Brendan Rodgers?
Probably Rodgers.
And two more notes for now. Oscar Mercado of the Indians, he could have a short stay in the majors, according to the article I read yesterday, as they await Tyler Naquin's return. So just be aware. I mean, look, if he hits, he'll probably stay up, but Naquin was, I think, second on the team in batting average when he got hurt. So
You can't block Tyler Naquin.
You can't block Tyler Naquin.
I mean, we all know that.
And Trey Turner began a rehab assignment, and just remember what he did in only four games, but he stole three bases on opening day. There was the proclamation that he was going to steal like 60 bases or something like that. He had two home runs and a .357 batting average in four games. It is quite possible that Trey Turner will be the most valuable player in fantasy when he comes back. I'd still take Trout, but
sure. It
is possible. So get excited for that. Maybe get excited for Jose Ramirez. He homered yesterday. They were basically taking batting practice against the Chicago White Sox, but we promised some Jose Ramirez talk. Let's have some Jose Ramirez talk. Where are you on Ramirez right now? Batting .195 with four home runs, 12 RBIs, 10 steals, still 19 walks to 25 strikeouts. That's good. Batted ball data looks pretty similar to last year. One thing I did notice, he's not pulling the ball as much. But this is also a guy now, let's see, it's been 81 games of a sub-200 ERA with 7 home runs in those 81 games. Thankfully, 17 steals. Yikes, what do you think?
Yeah, it's been not very good for a while. But, you know, when you dig into the numbers, he's probably been a little unlucky. He probably still has some changes that he needs to make. I think he's probably hitting the ball in the air a little bit too much now. And it's, you know, I think there's probably something going on with his swing that he can fix. But there are signs of hope, maybe not signs of hope. And we've said the chances of him returning value on that third overall pick at this point are pretty much slim to none. But the chances of him being worth a first or second round pick, I think there's still a pretty good chance for that. You know, he's still not striking out very much. His average exit velocity is actually slightly higher than it was last season. So there are reasons to believe that he's going to be a, you know, pretty good version of himself, if not the arguably best player in fantasy that he was the last, you know, last season in particular.
And I own Ramirez in two leagues. And I think right now my choice is wait it out, wait for the
That's
hot
the
streak.
Only choice.
Well, yeah. Look, you can still get very good value for Jose Ramirez. If you think, if you look at Jose Ramirez's career, you realize like there's not that much greatness, right? He's not 5 years established. He's not Nolan Arenado or anything like that. Now, I'm just saying that, but I do believe he's a very, very good, if not great, player. But if you think that Jose Ramirez is just not going to be that good, you could actually sell high on him, if you know what I mean. Because okay, look, in our leagues, if anyone's acquiring Jose Ramirez, they're giving up a lot. If you're playing with less experienced fantasy players, you might be able to get Jose Ramirez for like Mitch Haniger or something obvious. But if you and I are getting Jose Ramirez in our leagues with experienced players, with people who would listen to this podcast, you're paying up. Nobody's just giving away Jose Ramirez. If you don't think he's that good, if you don't think he's first round value, then you could trade him for, oh man, like I don't think you can get Cody Bellinger at this point. But
no way.
Javier Baez.
The thing is, I don't think anybody's giving you Javier Baez for him at this point.
Chris Bryant.
I'd be pretty shocked. I think Chris Bryant you could have done about 8 days ago.
But that's the thing. Like, don't you think Jose Ramirez is going to be better than Chris Bryant?
Probably, but I don't feel super confident in it. It's a little bit like where we were with Chris Sale, like 4 starts ago, when it's clear that something's wrong. It's a lot harder to identify what that is than it has been with other players who are struggling. Like, there's not an obvious silver bullet that we can point to that's causing his struggles. And so that makes me think either his skill set just eroded really badly on like September 6th of last season and just will not come back, or it's just one of those things. It's a funky cold streak, but he'll figure it out and be a very good player moving forward.
Yeah.
I'd feel a lot more confident going one way or the other on this if there was something obvious I can point to that said, okay, well, he's not running as fast, so his athleticism is deteriorating, or he's not hitting the ball as hard. But those things don't really exist.
Right. Yeah, he is hitting the ball a little bit harder than he did last year. So that's what I was going to say, is that I am taking the waited out approach. And I'm just hoping that this guy gets, you know, crazy hot and carries my team. And like Matt Carpenter did last year, which Matt Carpenter, by the way, will probably do again this year. Not to the same extent, yeah. But he'll get hot too. It's another buy low candidate for you. All right, so that's your Jose Ramirez talk. I guess I'll wrap it up and say, just give you some names here. Would you rather have Francisco Lindor or Jose Ramirez?
Ramirez.
Would you rather have Ronald Acuna or Jose Ramirez?
That's a tough one.
Yeah,
that's a very, very tough one. If I don't answer, I'm hoping you'll move on.
I will say I will take Ramirez in points leagues because of the tremendous plate discipline.
Yeah, that might be the good hedge.
And I'll take Acuna and Roto, even though, you know, Ramirez has all the steals. But if Acuna, you know, leads off, he might run more too. All right, we're going to take a break here on Fantasy Baseball Today. We got so much to get to, including Monday's leftovers, stuff we didn't get to talk about on yesterday's horrible show. We'll talk about on today's redemptive show, and then everything you need to know from Tuesday. We'll be right back on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Okay, Chris, a lot to talk about from Monday's games that we didn't get to. So I'm going to give you a name. We're going to go Mike D'Antoni style, 7 seconds or less of analysis. Must start, drop him, keep him. I'm encouraged, whatever you want to say. Here we go from Monday. Brad Peacock, 5 innings, 1 run, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts at Detroit. Brad Peacock.
Keep him, but you're not starting him in his next start at Boston.
And then, unfortunately, he should get Boston again the following week at home. Yusei Kikuchi, not a bad start, but he gave up 3 home runs against Oakland on Monday. Kikuchi.
He's fine. He's not a star. He's someone you should own.
Robbie Ray, 5 innings, 2 runs, 6 strikeouts against Pittsburgh, 3.14 ERA, and 1.98 ERA in his last 5 starts, but only 1 quality start on the season. Robbie Ray.
We know that every Robbie Ray start is predictive of his next start. So he will be good in his next start, obviously.
He's okay, sarcasm.
Good. He should be owned in all formats.
So he's interesting.
He's going to blow up at some point.
I will allow this to continue here. He's very interesting because he is he's got a 132 whip. He's not going to help you there. He is going to help you in strikeouts. If you play in a quality starts league, Robbie Ray is going to really hurt you there, I think. He just throws so many pitches and very rarely gets to 6 innings. I think the question is, do you buy the ERA? I'm not sure I do.
No, I think he's probably more like a 3.7 ERA guy. The peripherals suggest he should be a little better than that, but I don't think he's going to continue running home run per nine under one, so you'll see some regression, but I think 3.5, 3.7, not a ton of innings, but he makes up for it because he's going to strike out probably 200 batters if he gets to 160 innings. So there's value there.
I'm going to throw a little sell high tag on him, and I would just say, like, you got to look at how you are in strikeouts, as I get it, but I do think that Robbie Ray could hurt you in every other category. You know, he's got so much downside, and we've seen it.
Yeah, he certainly, almost certainly won't help you in a couple of other categories. Like whip, he's not going to help you. Wins, I would guess not on that team, especially with how rarely he goes deep into games. So, yeah, I think he's like a number 3, number 4 starter who, you know, in a roto league especially, he helps you so much with that high volume of strikeouts that you can live with some of the other things that he doesn't do quite as well.
All right, that's Robbie Ray. 7 seconds or less on Jose Berríos, who got lit up by the Angels on Monday.
Inscrutable is the only word I can use to describe Jose Berríos, who now has the best ERA of his career, the worst strikeout rate, and the lowest ground ball rate. His FIP is nearly a run higher than his ERA. I don't know what to make of it.
Schedule has helped. The last 3 starts, Berríos has 13 strikeouts in 19 and two thirds, but he has faced the 2 best strikeout teams in terms, like, they strike out the fewest, Angels and Astros. The other team he faced was Toronto. They were 23rd, so he should have struck out more Blue Jays in theory, but I guess I just want to point that out, Chris.
Yeah, I guess that kind of gets to the whole Jose Berríos thing, though, is we think he should be dominant, and it shouldn't matter what the matchup is. I'm not even sure it does matter what the matchup is because he's so inconsistent from one start to the next.
Well, he hasn't really been this year, but I mean, I do know that he is that type of pitcher. I keep going back to the schedule. I think will give him consistency, but the strikeouts do matter to me in terms of matchups. Because you go look at Trevor Bauer, and he had a great start at Houston, and he struck out like 4 guys. So I just don't expect people to strike out a lot of Astros, and I don't expect them to strike out a lot of Angels. So if I could do the math, 13, let's see, he had 41 strikeouts in 41 innings, 40 and two-thirds going into his last three starts, and the rate has dropped since then. Okay, moving on, fringy starting pitchers from Monday. Do you have any interest in Freddy Peralta, Ronaldo Lopez, or Tyler Skaggs?
There is a lot to be interested in by with Ronaldo Lopez. Actually has the strikeout rate up above one per inning, which is something that he hasn't really done before. He's getting a decent amount of swinging strikes, and I think it's because he's changed his pitch mix. I'm going to look it up because I don't want to speculate on what it is, but I know he has made some changes. So he's throwing his slider more often, throwing his curveball less, and throwing his changeup more. And that was something that their pitching coach last season, at the end of last season, really talked about, was that changeup, getting more confident with it, throwing it in more counts, and being able to rely on it. And so far, you know, he's up to 20% when he was at 15% last year with it. So I think there are definitely things to like about Ronaldo Lopez.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. He had good matchups this week, Cleveland and Toronto, at Minnesota next week. I still don't trust Ronaldo Lopez in tough matchups, but
sure.
Skaggs is someone that I'm very frustrated with. Something's not right with him. Something's not there. I still think there's potential for him to be a good pitcher, but at the end of the day, like, he's obviously very droppable. I tried to drop him for Griffin Canning last night, and I got outbid. So I still have Tyler Skaggs, but I don't Tyler Skaggs these days. I sit him. Other hitters to talk about from Monday's games. Jerod Dyson is 11% owned. He stole two bases. He leads off against righties. He should be owned in more leagues. Marwin Gonzalez is 34% owned. He's been hot. I don't really care that much. He's got a 1,000 OPS basically in his last 12 games. I actually think Marwin Gonzalez might be over-owned, Chris, but he does have a lot of eligibility, so I get that. What do you think about Marwin? 7 seconds or less.
Yeah, I think he's most of his value comes from that eligibility.
All right, and that's pretty much it from Monday. So let's go to Tuesday. Let's go to last night's games. I'm going to ask you this. Is Mike Fultonevich droppable at this point?
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Yes, absolutely. He's clearly not right. He wasn't right in his minor league rehab assignment when they kept, you know, I think it was after his second start or before his second rehab start, they said, you know, we're probably going to call him up, join the rotation after this start. And then after that one, they said, well, we want to get him one more start. And then he was mediocre in that one again. So they were like, well, we want to get him one start. And all of a sudden, they kind of ran out of time and had to bring him back. And he's been absolutely, there's been nothing positive about him. He's made four starts. He's thrown 21 in the third innings. You know, the strikeout rate's not there. The walks are too high. I don't know what it is, but I don't think he's good enough to hold on to when things are this bad.
The Braves broadcasters last night were saying, like, the fastball velocity's down, but there's still enough velocity there to be an effective pitcher, because he was a really hard thrower last year.
But he's down to, like, 93, 94 now.
Right, but a lot of pitchers can get by on that. What they said was that the slider has been very unpredictable. He doesn't know where it's going, and that's been his
biggest problem. I guess my thought is many pitchers can thrive 93, 94. Jose Barrios is one. I don't think Mike Fultonevich can.
Yeah, that's probably a good point.
I don't
think
he has the command or the secondary pitches to do it.
More standouts for me. Matt Barnes is 62% owned. And at this point, I just don't see how he's not the Red Sox closer. And if he is the Red Sox closer, he probably should be close to 100% owned. Not only that, Matt Barnes is having his best year. He's always been a high walk guy. He has 4 walks to 33 strikeouts this year in 17 and a third. And Ryan Brazier just keeps on struggling. So there are a lot of relievers out there who we know are good, who are owned in about 62% of leagues. You know, like, it was Pedro Strop, Hector Neris. I don't know what happened to Neris. Strop's on the IL. Matt Barnes, to me, is ahead of that group. And if he's available, I think you really should get him. I certainly hope he gets the next save opportunity. I just don't see how it doesn't happen, unless it's today, because he pitched 2 innings last night. And Chris, Vladimir Guerrero, he homered twice yesterday. 3 for 4 with 2 home runs. All he needed to do was go to a better home run park. Get out of that huge Toronto cavernous place and go to go to San Francisco.
The Bandbox and Oracle.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice warm weather.
Perfect.
Wind blowing out. Yeah.
Yeah, so this was nice.
I mean, yeah, he's awesome. I think we talked about it a little bit last week, but pitchers are treating Vladimir Guerrero as if he's one of the best hitters in baseball right now. So that should be a sign that he's going to figure it out. Like, teams are, I think he has one of the lowest rate of pitches inside the strike zone among all hitters. And the pitches that are in the strike zone, I think he has one of the highest rates of pitches on, I think it's like referred to as the fuzzy area of the zone. So the corners, basically. Pitchers are treating him very cautiously. And that's a testament to his talent and his potential. Don't give up on him. Anybody who was worried, there's no reason to be.
Would you rather have Francisco Lindor or Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
Francisco Lindor.
Would you rather have Jose Altuve or Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
Jose Altuve.
I'm going to read a somewhat non sequitur email here. It's from Brandon. Is Whit Merrifield better than Jose Altuve?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It was last year for sure.
Yeah.
He's very good, but that's the thing, is it wasn't just about Jose Altuve not being good. Like, Whit Merrifield did a pretty good Jose Altuve impression in 2018, and he's continuing it in 2019. At this point, I think we just kind of have to buy that he's going to hit for a decent amount of pop. He's going to steal a good amount of bases, and
but
he's
going
to hit close to 300.
He only hit 12 home runs in 158 sure. games last year. He's got half of that already. And I, to me, the answer to that question, Merrifield versus Altuve, comes down to steals. I obviously know that Merrifield, even though he only has 7 steals right now, he's going to out-steal Altuve. Forget about the IL stint. Like, if they both played 162 games, Merrifield's going to steal more bases. But is Altuve going to be even close? Because I think Jose Altuve has 1 steal. So if he's a 15-steal guy, then I'm going to take Whit Merrifield over him, I think. If he's, yeah, I am. If he's, if Altuve's a 25-steal guy, or at least a 25-steal pace whenever he gets back, then I'd take Altuve. But Chris, I don't know. He's on the IL with a leg injury, and he wasn't running before. Like, I kind of got to think, and he had a leg injury last year. I'm not really optimistic about Altuve stealing bases.
Right, but also I just think, like, we shouldn't undersell how good Whit Merrifield is at this point. Like,
but, well, he is
he
really good, but it's
12 homers
the steals.
Last year, but like, it was 19 the year before.
Altuve's going to crush him. Altuve's going to crush him in batting average and home runs, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, Merrifield's probably going to hit 300.
Yeah, but Altuve could hit 330.
He could, yes.
Yeah, and then
I think it's very close.
Yeah, I think I'd probably lean Merrifield right now because of the injury primarily, and the fact that I just don't really trust Altuve to run. But ideal Altuve's better than
sure. Merrifield. I just don't. Yeah, it's hard to know if we're gonna get ideal Altuve.
What
ideal Altuve looks like.
I'll run through some news and notes real quick. Julio Urías was arrested on suspicion of misdemeanor domestic violence / battery, and he is on leave right now. Don't like to see that. Felix Hernandez is out 4 to 6 weeks with a lat strain. A decision on Miguel Andujar is likely coming today. Would not be surprising if he's out for the year. The Yankees acquired Kendrys Morales from Oakland. He's barely better than Greg Bird. Jed Lowrie is going to be out a few more weeks with a hamstring injury. Steven Matz could return this weekend. If he does return this weekend, he'll face the Marlins. Jose Martinez, just want to bring this up. Jose Martinez has started 25 of the last 26 games for St. Louis, so he is your starting right fielder. Jorge Polanco, we talked about him yesterday and said, well, he hasn't stolen a base. Well, he heard us. Jorge Polanco stole a base. Freddie Freeman.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Polanco owners, you are welcome. Freddie Freeman is still dealing with an illness. David Price could start against Houston on Saturday. Would you start David Price if he starts against the Astros at home on Saturday?
Probably not coming off the IL.
Angelton Simmons had the longest streak of plate appearances without a strikeout, 61 in a row. That was snapped yesterday. D. Gordon could start tomorrow, and there's a chance Buster Posey comes off the IL on Friday. I'm going to give Chris 3 big-time standouts, and I'm going to ask him, sell high? Just like that? Or no thanks, guy. We'll do that right after the break on Fantasy Baseball Today.
True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Chris, be a GM. Sell high or no thanks, guy. George Springer is the number three hitter in baseball. Sell high or no thanks, guy.
Sell high if someone's going to treat him like he's a first-round value. If someone's going to give you... Gosh, I don't know. I'm not sure about Jose Ramirez or George Springer at this point, because this is the kind of thing that we always thought was possible from George Springer, and he just hadn't done it. But I don't know if that meant that he didn't have, if he had lost the potential. I don't think it did. It was less likely to happen, but less likely things happen sometimes. And, you know, we might be seeing a career year from George Springer, kind of like, what year was it, 2017 before the injury?
2017, first 99 games, he had a 973 OPS. George Springer batted .310 with 27 home runs. He was unbelievable. Then he had a quad injury. He came off the DL. He had a 717 OPS in his last 47 games. And I really thought going into 2016... Yeah, look, Springer broke out. He had the quad injury. I'm sorry, going into 2018. He had the quad injury. Mm-hmm. He's going to be amazing. And he just had a bad year last year. Now, not only, look, obviously he's overperforming. 16 home runs in 43 games. He's got a 35.6% home run to fly ball rate. But he's also got four steals, which is nice. If he gives you 15 steals, that's a plus there. So this is kind of what I was talking about with Jose Ramirez. Like, you can get George Springer, possibly, for Jose Ramirez. And if you think Springer's just better and we just don't know it yet, like, you could theoretically sell high on Jose Ramirez. Not to turn this into a Ramirez discussion, but you know what I mean?
I don't know if I would, but it's a really interesting question, George Springer versus Jose Ramirez. I don't think Springer has quite the upside, and that's why we weren't drafting him third overall like we were with Jose Ramirez, but a big part of Jose Ramirez's value was the perceived safety of his profile. Sure. Didn't strike out a lot, hit for good power, stole some bases. We thought, well, you know, maybe this is a guy that you can count on, you won't have to worry about. And so far that has been spectacularly untrue.
And
so it's a really tough question, Ramirez or Springer.
So Springer, the other guy in this sell high or no thanks guy, actually there's two more, is Cody Bellinger. He is the number one player in fantasy, number one hitter. Cody Bellinger, sell high or no thanks guy?
No thanks guy. He's really, really good. And he was someone that you and I especially, you know, really liked the potential of coming into the season. I think you picked him top three in NL MVP in your bold predictions. He was someone that I liked a lot more than Adam and Heath. Scott and Heath.
Scott and Heath. Yeah.
Jeez, I just turned into my grandma for a second. Yeah, Scott and Heath. He's really good, and he's made legitimate improvements in his plate discipline, although he hasn't been able to quite sustain what he was doing early in the season in terms of being an elite strikeout guy, but he's still been very good. I'm not giving up on him for much less than like a top six or seven player. I think if we redrafted right now, he'd have to be in the first round.
Springer and Bellinger are fun comparisons because they're both hitting the ball a hard contact rate of 50% or higher and a home run to fly ball rate of 33.3% or higher. So there's regression coming, at least in the power department, and Bellinger has a 411 BABIP and a 409 batting average. But just because a guy is going to be a little bit worse, it doesn't mean you have to sell high. Last one here is someone I know you love. This is probably your best call of the year, is Josh Bell. I mean, you talked about him as a legit breakout yesterday. You talked about him in spring training, and he hit two more home runs. But do you think now is the time to sell high on Josh Bell? If you were going to do that, what would you ask for?
I would probably need to get someone in the like 6 to 8 range at first base, I think. Because I really do think he's just taken a big step forward. He is just crushing the ball stupid hard. He has been Joey Gallo-esque in terms of how hard he's hitting the ball. So I don't think he'll keep all of that up, but I don't know if I would trade him for Matt Carpenter right now.
Well, the good thing with Bell is that he's probably not your starting first baseman, so you could, in theory, trade him for another position. You know, you could Josh Bell. Would you do Josh Bell for Jack Flaherty?
If I needed pitching, and there's probably a pretty good chance
you
that
need
I'd
pitching.
Do. Yeah,
yeah,
I think I'd be
willing. you play fantasy baseball, you need pitching. All right, Chris, I'm going to take about a minute on this segment. Deep leagues. These guys are widely available. Are you interested in any of them? Jordan Luplo. He's hit 4 home runs, 3 of them off Manny Banuelos. Aledmys Diaz, 13% owned, and he's got 3 home runs in his last 4 games. I have added him and dropped him twice in the last like 4 days in a league. Ronnie Rodriguez, 25% owned, second base and shortstop eligible, and he's batting .312 with 6 home runs for the Tigers. Melky Cabrera is batting .342. Pablo Sandoval has started 3 straight games, partially because Brandon Belt was hurt, but Pablo Sandoval is actually hitting very well. His OPS is over .900. Jordan Luplo, Aledmys Diaz, Ronnie Rodriguez, Melky Cabrera, Pablo Sandoval.
Luplo and Diaz should probably be owned in 15-team or deeper, at least in Diaz's case, as long as Jose Altuve's out. I'm not sure he's going to play every day after that. I would expect not. Luplo already not playing every day, but you know, in a 15-team league where there's 5 outfielders and 7 bench spots, you can probably find a place for him. Melky Cabrera kind of just, it's weird that we just kind of, and I'm not saying it's wrong or right, but we ignore him year after year, and he just keeps hitting like 285 every year.
Always
he doesn't
some batting
do much
average.
Else.
Always some batting average, but yeah, he's 285 hitter. He's not a 342 hitter.
No, but he's someone that, you know, like kind of pre-second breakout Nick Markakis, he can have some value in a roto league where you need batting average. You know, he can help you start to make up a little ground, especially if you invested heavily in low average power hitters and you're relatively good in run production.
All right, so there's a lot I wanted to talk about from yesterday, but I think it's really important that we get to the starting pitchers. So Wilson Ramos hit a grand slam. Andrew McCutchen has been ice cold. He's going into yesterday's game. He had a .265 slugging percentage in his previous 18 games. That's Andrew McCutchen. So I will try to talk about him on tomorrow's show, but I think it's really important we get to the rotation here. So Syndergaard, no complaints here. 7 swinging strikes. His swinging strike rate's a little bit lower this year, 11.9% going into yesterday's game. That's a career low. And he only had 7 yesterday against the Nationals.
Yeah, but a 12% swinging strike rate from a guy who like has openly said that he's had trouble gripping the ball and getting the most out of his slider, that should tell you what kind of ridiculous level of talent we're dealing with here.
Okay, what do you think about Jack Flaherty then? So Flaherty has, I think, 12 walks in his last 3 starts. Yeah, 12 walks. Only 18 on the year. But now that issue is creeping back up. He was pitching really well, and then it kind of fell apart. He had one bad inning at Atlanta. It gets a quality start, but could have been better.
He's good. He's not an ace, but he's part of that for me, that Jose Berríos, Jameson Taillon, pre-injury Tyler Glasnow range.
All right, so I'm guessing Syndergaard is number one on this list, knowing you. Well, I don't know. Maybe Carrasco or Syndergaard? Look, Carrasco
probably
is...
Carrasco, but...
I crap on Carrasco all the time. Like, he is actually pitching really well. His walk-to-strikeout ratio, I believe, is the best of his career.
He's really good.
He is really
he's
good.
He's really, really good. He's an ace.
He is a...
He's an ace.
He is... Not quite an ace.
For me, coming into the season, he was the last pitcher on the ace tier because he was the last guy who
had
proven that he could pitch deep into games and deep into seasons, get 200 strikeouts, wouldn't hurt you in your ratios. Like, he was the last guy who I felt, if he was my number one pitcher, I'm not falling too far behind.
Yeah, same exact thing. I don't think he's the kind of guy that has the 250 ERA upside.
Right.
That basically every other ace has. But
Noah Syndergaard has more up.
He's having a really good year, and he's throwing the ball pretty hard. All right, so we got Syndergaard and Carrasco are 1 and 2. How would you rank the rest of these guys? Jack Flaherty, Charlie Morton, who, just like Blake Snell, is really, really good for 6 innings, but barely ever pitches more than that. Clayton Kershaw and Chris Paddock. Again, Flaherty, Morton, Kershaw, Paddock.
Kershaw, Flaherty, Paddock, Morton.
Paddock, Morton. Yeah. What did Paddock say?
But I think
after
Paddock and Morton should be top 30 guy.
What did Paddock and Morton? What did Paddock say after yesterday's start, which wasn't very good?
It was like, you'll want to watch my next start. That's all I'll say. Or my next start will be fun. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, he's definitely got some.
He's got a lot of swagger.
Yeah, he's got some swag, no question.
Yeah,
and he got lit up yesterday. He only gave up 3 earned runs, but 6 total, 2 homers. This was an interesting start. He just wasn't at his best. I've made it a point to watch almost every Chris Paddock start, not his sharpest, and he knew it. But Kershaw, you know, when you cover fantasy baseball, Chris, and you sort of create a theory about a skill set. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Well, Kershaw, like, my theory about Kershaw's skill set is that guys who have, like, a great curveball but not a great fastball could get a lot of strikeouts or, like, be really good but give up home runs. I sort of felt like Patrick Corbin could fall into that, but he hasn't. But that is exactly what's happening to Clayton Kershaw. His mistakes get crushed. Most of his runs this year that he's given up have come via the home run. He still does have a great curveball, but the fastball is obviously not what it was. 7 home runs allowed in 39 and two-thirds. And I own Kershaw in one league, and it's a league where, like, everybody needs pitching, and I have good pitching, and they come to me for pitching, and nobody wants Kershaw. I'm like, they all want Bauer, and I like Bauer better. I'm like, well, how do you feel about Kershaw? I'm like, yeah, I don't really want Kershaw. Nobody seems to want him, and I sort of get it.
It is a... He has made his slider his primary pitch so far, so that, I think, indicates that he's not feeling his fastball anymore. That's not a it's not a primary pitch for him. He throws his slider more often now.
He needs to make his slider... He needs to increase the difference in velocity between the slider and the fastball because they're too similar, and the slider is acting like a cutter. This is what happened to him last year. I'm not making this up, I promise. He needs to refine the slider a little bit. Like, it's been a good pitch, I think, but I think he needs to take a little bit off of it because it's too much like the fastball. And I think that's affecting the fastball, making the fastball even less effective.
Sure, yeah. If they're closer, like, you either want two pitches that are similar in velocity, but, you know, they have slightly less movement, or you want a slower pitch that moves a little more. I think that's probably... That's a fair thing to say about Clayton Kershaw. Look, he's not like a super duper ace anymore. But even last year, he still had a 270 something ERA. He's still going to be pretty good as long as he's on the mound. So I'm not looking to move him by any means.
Also, I think the Padres are a pretty homer happy team, so that might just not be that good of a matchup for him. He's sort of struggled against them twice. The good thing about Kershaw is that he has not had any blowups. Like, every time he's gone out there, it's at least been a respectable start. More rotation part two. These are guys who have sort of played their way into must start, at least in the two start weeks. Brandon Woodruff, I continue to be excited about him. He walked five yesterday, but that's only 17 on the year. I don't know. I think Brandon Woodruff, Chris, might be something here. Might be really breaking out. Jared Eichhoff, I'll get your take on the whole group. Eichhoff was crap yesterday. Caleb Smith was really good. Kyle Hendricks has now gone 25 innings and given up one run in his last three starts, eight or more innings in all three. Joe Musgrove bounced back from two terrible starts, which was really nice to see. And Luke Weaver had only five strikeouts but 19 swinging strikes, and overall a pretty solid start against the Pirates. Your thoughts on Woodruff, Eichhoff, Caleb Smith, Kyle Hendricks, Joe Musgrove, and Luke Weaver, just that group in general?
I think Eichhoff's probably my least favorite of this group. He is also the lowest owned of this group, so I guess I'm not telling any tales out of school there. I do like Brandon Woodruff. I'm with you. I think the talent is really, really high. The home park might make him susceptible to home runs, but for the most part, I think he's going to be a high strikeout guy who keeps his ERA in the mid to high threes, and that's a very useful pitcher. Caleb Smith, I'm not sure there's much left to say about him. He's very good. Kyle Hendricks, he's not going to keep going eight innings and allowing no runs and striking out seven. So this run is
so high
out of nowhere.
So high.
Yeah, who's going to buy it, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because
somebody wants
to give you something for Kyle Hendricks. He's a nice player to have on your team because you can just set him in your rotation and just mostly forget about him. He's going to do what he does. What he's going to do is give you a pretty good whip, pretty good ERA, not enough strikeouts, but a decent amount of wins. And then I really like Musgrove and Weaver. I love what we've seen from both of them so far. The moves that Luke Weaver made in the offseason to develop, I believe it was a cutter, have seemingly played a really big part in his resurgence. Yeah, he's throwing a cutter 15% of the time. It was about 4.5% of the time last year. So he's refined that pitch and turned it into something that he feels really comfortable throwing.
So how would you rank them? Is Caleb Smith number one?
Yeah.
Who's number two? Weaver, Woodruff, Hendricks, Musgrove, Eichhoff.
Probably Hendricks, but it's close. I think all three of the other guys have more upside.
Go ahead.
I think I'd probably go Weaver, Woodruff, Musgrove from then on.
Do you think that these fringy starting pitchers, if you saw them on your waiver wire, you'd go get them? Kyle Gibson, he's actually 80% owned. Danny Duffy, Kyle Freeland, and Wade Miley.
If they have two starts, and if Kyle Freeland doesn't have two starts at home. But that's about the only time I'm going to really be interested.
Freeland is at Pittsburgh and home against Baltimore next week if he gets those two starts. So he might actually be usable in that scenario, but he's been pretty bad this year.
And he's 78% owned, so it's not like there's a lot of people who can go out and add him. I'm not sure the leagues where he's not owned are leagues where I'd really want to start him anyway.
All right, Kyle Gibson, Duffy, Freeland, Miley, those are your two start. Those are your fringy starting pitchers. Miley ended a streak of 24 straight starts, allowing three or fewer earned runs. I think I got to cut Chris loose. Might be able to finish off, maybe read some emails here solo to extend the show. But in the bullpen, Sergio Romo hadn't pitched in 8 days, so the Marlins threw him in a non-save situation, and he walked four guys, one intentional. Blake Parker got another save. So he is throwing more than one inning usually now, but probably going to lead the team in saves, 58% owned. Steve Cishek, I think, is going to get most of the saves for the Cubs. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but most of them, while Strope is out. And Roenis Elias got a two and a third inning save yesterday. And it's just hard to imagine that they could go back to Swarzak. But Elias gets used for more than an inning. So I don't know what happens. Like, who gets the one inning save?
I have no idea.
Elias is the guy to own. He's having a pretty good year. I don't know that we buy it, but he is having a pretty good year.
Yeah.
But I'd rather own Cishek than Elias, at least in the short term.
Yes, for sure.
All right, I'm going to let Chris go. And when I come back, I will preview today's matchups for the video folk out there. Thank you for watching Fantasy Baseball Today For the audio, folks, stick around. But for you video people, I'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Baseball Today. Hello again, loyal listeners. Thank you for being a part of Fantasy Baseball Today. So let's take a look at today's matchups, see what we're going to do. I would like to tell you, though, I am trying so hard to make trades right now. I love making trades. That's why I talk about buy low, sell high all the time. It's the best way to improve your team. The waiver wire is great, but if you can get an established player at a low cost, that's how you win fantasy. We got a lot of games on the schedule, and I will give you some start, sit. I'm going to call it advice. I don't know if it's going to be good. Right now, though, you can let me know on Twitter how you feel about this. I have been offered Max Scherzer and Xander Bogaerts for Gregory Polanco and Mike Trout in a roto league. This just came in. So the original offer was my Mike Trout for Max Scherzer and Justin Upton. I declined, and I said, give me Scherzer and Bogaerts for Bregman instead of Trout and Polanco. And he was like, no, which I figured. So then he came back with Bogaerts and Scherzer for Trout and Polanco instead of Bregman and Polanco. It's an interesting trade because here's the thing. Like, Trout is the most valuable player to me in fantasy. But the reason why he's more valuable than Scherzer is that Scherzer's old. And you don't know how he's going to... Like, you're sitting there in the preseason and spring training doing your draft and you're like, man, Scherzer's old. I don't know how he's going to... He's probably going to be amazing. But what if he isn't? What if Father Time catches up to him? But that's obviously not happening. So can't you make a case that Max Scherzer is as valuable as Mike Trout right now? I think Xander Bogaerts is more valuable than Gregory Polanco. In fact, I think Bogaerts has a lot of good production coming. He's a good buy low, in my opinion. It's hard to really make trades with a shortstop because everybody's got one good one, it seems. I think it's a justifiable trade. I'd probably get ripped if I traded Trout. Trout and Polanco for Bogaerts and Scherzer. I'm going to consider it. I'll probably make one more counteroffer and make it a touch more favorable because when you give up Trout, you should be making sure you're getting something amazing. But I need pitching. My pitching stinks. All right, speaking of bad pitching, Trevor Cahill will be at the Twins. You're going to sit him. You're going to start Jake Odorizzi. Let's ride it out. Let's see how long this works. David Hess at J-Hap in the first of a doubleheader, Orioles at Yankees. J-Hap. Yeah, we're going to start him. I think he's been pretty good lately. If he can't get it done against the Orioles, then we got some problems, which was the case earlier in the year. He had two starts against the Orioles that weren't good. Hap has been, three of his last four starts have been certainly good enough. I'd say four of his last five starts have been good enough. So you're going to start him. His first two starts of the season, though, 8 1/3, 6 earned runs against the Orioles. Back to the scoreboard. I didn't even know Chris Archer was back today. Definitely going to start Greinke. Am I going to start Chris Archer? First start off the IL at the Diamondbacks. I think I'm going to play it safe with Archer. But you also know I'm not the Archer guy, so keep that in mind. Not going to start anyone in the Blue Jays-Giants game. Definitely going to start Domingo Armand. Not going to start Andrew Cashner. Yu Darvish at Sonny Gray. No on both of them. Gio Gonzalez at Jake Arrieta. This is a pretty interesting one. This could be the toughest call of the day. So the Brewers have just not been good on the road, offensively. I'll try to get the split up right now. Helps to have another person here to kill some time. Arrieta's been mostly good this year. He struggled last time out. I'm nervous about it. Considering he doesn't really give strikeouts ever, I'm going to say sit him. I understand in a points league if you want to start Jake Arrieta. Gio Gonzalez, like a 169 ERA, a .94 whip. He's basically doing what he did last year with the Brewers, which was, hard to buy into, but he was limiting runs. I think they're both sits. I just think this could be a high-scoring game, Gio and Arrieta. We've got Wilmer Font, looks like opening for the Mets, maybe, at Patrick Corbin. You're going to start Patrick Corbin. Herman Marquez at Eduardo Rodriguez, I'm starting both of them. Not going to start anyone in the Rays-Marlins game. Justin Verlander, yes, we're going to start him. We are not going to start Gregory Soto for the Tigers. Michael Wacha at Mike Soroka, I'm only going to start Soroka here. Mike Minor at Jorge Lopez, I will start Mike Minor. And Matt Strom at Kenta Maeda. Ordinarily, I would say start Matt Strom. I am going to start Maeda. He's coming off a good start. He's been a slow starter in the past. So I think I'm going to be okay with that. Strom has been freaking lights out, but the Dodgers are just so good. Let me look up a couple splits here. All right, first of all, let's take a look at the Brewers OPS on the road just for fun. They are 18th in OPS. They are amazing at home. They are below average on the road. Now let's take a look at lefty-righty splits and see the Dodgers versus lefties. Bellinger's a lefty, but he's been good against them. Jock Peterson's not going to be in the lineup. Seager's a lefty. So let's see how the Dodgers are. They're 8th in OPS against lefties. Strom is really risky to me. I certainly want to own him. He's possibly breaking out. I'd probably start him as an RP. He's 75% owned. But just like Chris Paddock last night, this could be a tough one. So he's a borderline start. I will lean no on him. I think it's going to be like 6 innings, 4 runs. But it's hard to argue with how good he's been. Even if Strom has a bad start, do not drop him. Thank you for listening, everybody. Solo show. You want more of these? I'll do the whole thing by myself next time. No, nobody wants that. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. See ya.